Here's a nice talk, nice, easy, fun little talk, I guess, for the morning on how to set up a clustered file system in a briefcase. And I hope that he'll also tell us how he got this briefcase through airport security, which is kind of interesting. All right, please go ahead.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. Yes, I'm going to talk about clustered Samba in a briefcase. This is the briefcase, so I can just show it around a little. I have a picture if you can't see it properly, but my cluster is in here. And I'm also going to try my hand at a live demo, because as far as I noticed yesterday, nobody actually went for a live demo, which is like unacceptable for a Samba XP. So this is exactly what I'm going to do. Let's see how it works. Now, in any case, so quick outline. I'm going to talk a bit about the hardware I used, the software I used. I'll go in a bit into the setup, and I'll talk about some of the issues I've ran into that we didn't get around to fix yet. So we found a couple of things that were easy to work around. So I think there's like two or three patches up coming up for CTDB that make CTDB work on the slightly funky hardware that I have. So there's a couple of things a lot of systems don't like. I will go into that a bit later. And then I'll go with a demo, and let's see what we can break time allowing. So quick introduction about myself. And the hardware software used. So myself, I've got a master's in computational biology. And for my PhD, I actually decided to go further into microbiology. So I'm not a programmer in my day job, at least. Well, technically I am. I'm a computational biologist still. But I'd just like to point out, Samba is not my day job. I am, however, a Samba team member, and as a microbiologist, I like to work with small stuff, which is why I'm constantly here at Samba XP talking about Samba on embedded systems. And it's great fun. Now, the hardware I used, so let's get into the more fun part, because me, you might know, or you can look all this up in other presentations I've given. The hardware I used here is three Raspberry Pis, because otherwise wouldn't be a cluster, right? A cheap four-port switch that I can also power off USB, which allows me to use a four-port USB power supply to power the whole setup here. Now, I've already figured out during this event, it would also be nice to have like a power bank with four USB outlets, so I could like really be completely self-contained in that box if I had Wi-Fi. So that might be a next upgrade. However, the power supply allows me to demonstrate a catastrophic cluster failure during my presentation by flipping this switch. So, I mean, it has advantages to have a proper power supply here. So, quick note about the Raspberry Pi 2. So this is the setup I use currently. It's a pretty nice box compared to the Raspberry Pi 1 that I was using for demos similar to this previously. It has a quad-core system, meaning it's much, much faster to compile Samba on these things than it used to be. It has a gigabyte of RAM, so as opposed to some other boxes I have, I can actually do the Samba compile there, because the Samba build system uses more than 128 megabytes of RAM to calculate the dependency graph, so no compiling on really small systems. It has four USB 2 ports, which is a bit sad, because that means you can't use faster USB pen drives. So no performance measurements on that one. It's going to suck anyway. And also only has 100 megabit Ethernet. So yeah, allowed me to go for a cheaper switch, which is good, I guess. But I mean, as a storage platform, I can't necessarily recommend it. But it's only a couple of bucks, and the whole setup that I have here, with like including the suitcase, was less than 200 euros. So I guess it's fine. If you want a system to play with, I think this is really brilliant. And it's way more fun than just building all that in a virtual machine. So the software I'm using is Arch Linux, because they have a very brilliant ARM port that's nicely supported. And I also like the build system. Arch Linux makes it really easy to recompile packages. I used GlusterFS as my cluster file system, and I was using the sort of latest Samba I could get my hands on when I set up the system. Of course, it's outdated already, but I d- didn't want to recompile something that worked. Don't fix it if it ain't broken. And I use CTDB just from the Samba build I have. So yeah, I already said that Arch Linux ARM is the ARM port of Arch Linux, duh. It supports ARM v5 to ARM v8 these days hardware, which is really nice. Raspbian for the Raspberry Pis is a pretty good distribution, but I have a couple of other systems that are not supported by most other Linux distributions on ARM anymore, because they're ARM v5. And running Arch Linux allows me to like run the same same distribution for my whole zoo of embedded systems. So I only have to remember like one set of system administration commands. That's a really nice part. It's really lightweight because it's really designed for these systems, and it by default doesn't try to like convince you to install a graphical user interface and all that crap. And it has a really, really active community. So I can't stress that enough. The Arch Linux Wiki is among the best documentations for like more complex Linux setups that I can imagine. The systemd documentation on the Arch Linux Wiki beats the crap out of the systemd man pages, right? It's really nice. GlusterFS, I'm just using the latest release because Arch Linux is a rolling release, rolling update distribution, so I just install that from the operating system. I'm done. It's clustering for common off-the-shelf hardware, and I assume that common off-the-shelf, I mean, I can put a lot of Raspberry Pis in a shelf, so that should work. And it's packaged for Arch Linux, so I didn't have to do anything smart. And yeah, just Samba 4, everybody should know it, right? Current release is 4.4.3, so I'm a bit behind, but it takes like 3 hours to build on the system I use for building, which is not as powerful as that one, but has a large disk drive. It has an Active Directory domain controller, but it's not relevant for this talk. It scales from really small to really, really big. And most of the talks you usually see at Samba XP talk about the really, really big part, which is why I like to play on the other spectrum. So let's get into the hardware setup. So this is a picture of the inside of the suitcase. So as you can see, I can just barely fit 3 Raspberry Pis into there. I have to stack them up because the power outlets come in from the side here, and I don't have angled USB connectors. Bit in hindsight, was a bit of a stupid idea buying those, but I mean, it does work. I have the switch down here, and the big thing here is the power supply. So the only thing I ever need to put into the into the suitcase to make the whole thing work is network uplink, the yellow cable that's going out here, and power, that's the white cable going out here. And that's, again, the only things I have connected here. I'm using a gray cable now, but whatever, right? It's same setup running over here. And yeah, so might be a bit hard to see, but I have USB pen drives connected that run my cluster file system. So this is BatterFS on the USB pen drives, and then a GlusterFS on top of that. I mean, they recommend XFS, but I thought, well, this is going to be an experimental thing, so I might as well try the experimental file system. So far, it hasn't blown up on me. One remark I have about building systems like this, during playing around with this cluster, the SD cards have corrupted themselves like 2 times already. So really, if you build something like that, try to script as much as possible out of that, because SD cards really, really suck. I mean, the rest of that is rock stable, but the SD cards. I mean, arguably, I use pretty cheap SD cards, because if you play with embedded stuff, SD cards really is like consumables, right? You run through them, you throw them away, get a new one, move on. Anyway, so that's the hardware setup. As I said, the whole setup, including the suitcase, was less than 200 euros. So let's talk a bit about the setup for the systems from the software side. So for the Raspberry Pis, as I said, I did this manually the first time, and then the SD cards decided to break on me. And I thought, well, I'm enough of a programmer to think that this is stupid. So I've scripted that. So if you ever are interested in setting up a bunch of Raspberry Pis, I've got a set of scripts that you could use to set this up, and they're available in GitHub. And then basically setting up the system, assuming your SD cards are pre-partitioned, is as easy as calling the format script that takes care of installing Arch Linux on freshly formatted SD cards. And then I have a bootstrap script that you can trigger with a host name to install some of the host-specific things like the host name file, SSH host keys, the SSH authorized keys file for root, and all of that stuff, so I can just go on with my life afterwards. So once you run these two scripts, you have to wait a bit. You're pretty much done. The only thing you still need to do is to transfer the SD card to the Raspberry Pi boot. And I also have to install Python 2 because I'm using Ansible for my remaining bootstrap. And Arch Linux doesn't install Python 2 by default because Python 3 is the way to go, apparently. And so I use Ansible for the rest of the bootstrap, which means that my whole configuration is, again, in text files. And again, I have a GitHub repository, so I won't be going into too much details. But with the whole thing installed, that means going through the overall install is pretty straightforward. For some logistical reasons, I decided to split installing GlusterFS into a separate playbook, especially because I need to install custom Samba packages for now. The default packages on Arch Linux don't compile with cluster, which is, of course, needed if you want to run a clustered Samba. I will push them to include that because it's, I mean, you don't lose anything if you build with that. And just having a separate CTDB package would be awesome. Anyway, after that, I have another playbook to install all the Samba things. And again, that's it. So I haven't tried this during the preparation here because I don't actually have an SD card reader in this notebook. But you should be able to like bootstrap the complete setup from nothing in less than half an hour with all of this. And that includes waiting for SD cards to be written. Right, that's the longest part of the process. Now, CTDB, I already said, needs with clustering to work for the Arch Linux build. And I decided to rebuild the Arch Linux package because, as I already mentioned, Arch Linux by default ships Python 3. And Arch Linux, as one of the only distributions I know, decided to go for the bleeding edge option of shipping user bin Python as Python 3. Now, unfortunately, Samba has a lot of scripts that use Python that are Python 2, and they call user bin env Python to execute. So most parts of the Arch Linux build script for Samba includes in like going through the Samba source tree and in all the Python scripts replacing the hashbang line by calling Python 2 instead. So I didn't want to redo that, so I just futzed with their build, but that means that my standard install doesn't install all the CTDB config files, so I use Ansible to just blow them into the right directories for me. There are some fixes needed in the config files to make this work for Arch Linux, because the CTDB scripts have a nice detection of what distribution they're running on, and unfortunately, for some reason I don't understand, this just includes like funky mainstream distributions like SUSE Linux, Red Hat, and Debian, stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. I just had to fix this one first for me. Now, the patch is coming up. I was already talking to Martin. We have to split the logic because the detection of the startup system is overloaded to also detect the distribution, and you really have to split that. But anyway, you can hard code all the values that you need. So you can fix this by just a couple of configuration file changes. And then, of course, Arch Linux decided, because it's so bleeding edge, that it's not shipping a compatibility wrapper for the service binary. So you can't actually start a service by calling service something start. You have to use systemctl. And as of 3 days ago, CTDB didn't support that. So, should be fixed. I'm not sure if the patches are in yet, but we have the patches already. I need a couple of additional tweaks to the startup scripts because This is not the fault of CTDB, but for some reason, the kernel on ARM does not support real-time scheduling priorities. So I have to tell CTDB to stop using that. I mean, it works just fine even if I don't set the flag, but then my log files are full of CTDB complaining that it can't set real-time priority. It's a bit, I mean, this is not helping my performance, but then again, I'm running on 100 megabit Ethernet over USB 2 connected hard drives, so who cares about performance? And the all nitty-gritty details... Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so in any case, yeah, screw the performance for this setup. You can find the nitty-gritty details on GitHub. I'm not going to put all of that into my slides. Now, the Samba setup is also pretty straightforward. So the only thing I have in my smb.conf file is setting clustering to yes, because without that, you don't get clustering. And then, thanks to a tip from Amitai, I moved the rest of my configuration to the registry and made sure that CTDB also tracks the registry setup. That allows me to keep the configuration unified on all my nodes. I was using Ansible before with a slightly fuller smb.conf, but this one, I think, is even more elegant and the way to go. And then, obviously, I have to teach the registry a couple of things to make sure that I actually have a share and I actually have a couple of things set up. So this is this set of commands, and I actually didn't get around to put that into my Ansible scripts yet, because unfortunately Ansible doesn't seem to have a module to configure a net, or at least none that I haven't have found. So you have to run all of these things as commands, and that's just so inelegant. So yeah, I guess. Right, I could use the Python bindings. But yeah.
No, you can do
net. Yeah, I mean, I have a dump of this now because, as I said, this thing keeps, or these things keep corrupting their SD cards. So yeah, my recovery for the next time would just be to like restore my database with the registry. But in any case, so here's the recipe you need if you want to do that yourself. And a last bit of setup that I'm currently running on my laptop that might give me some trouble during the live demo is CTDB is a bit picky about host names and getting name resolution right. That bit me when moving my my setup from at home, where I have a separate DNS server, to here, where I thought, okay, the host name still are fine, but let's change the network name to something else. So I want to use demo, but no, not that great an idea. So now I've set up a DNS server on my laptop. If you know the other things I keep doing on Samba is DNS servers I sort of know a bit about, so it's not too bad. So I have round-robin A records for the public IPs of the cluster. It's a good idea if you want to set up a CTDB cluster, because that spreads the load a bit. I'm using like the most simple setup I could come up with, which is I just put this into my etc hosts, and then I'm using DNS mask to actually do my DNS stuff. You probably should use bind in a real setup because, I mean, DNS mask is, yeah, not really scalable beyond small system. Or maybe you could use Samba DNS once we do implement round robin. I've gotten some feature requests for that. Yeah, somebody needs to fix that who's working on Samba DNS. Okay, so let's quickly have a look at some of the remaining issues, and then I have lots of time for my demo, which is awesome. So, as I said, SCED-FIFO doesn't work on ARM. I haven't been able to figure out why yet, because like if you Google for this, you will find a lot of entries on the Raspberry Pi and Arch Linux forums saying, this doesn't work, does anybody have an idea why? And then the post is dead. So I'm not the only one seeing this. Apparently, nobody has bothered digging yet. Should be straightforward to fix, I guess, but I first have to figure out why. Good thing is that CTDB doesn't need it, so you can just switch it off. In theory, it impacts your performance. In practice, as I said, meh. I have some locking issues on GlusterFS that are probably related to my GlusterFS configuration. As a disclaimer, my GlusterFS setup is just what fell out of the Ansible GlusterFS setup module. So it's nothing fancy. I probably just need to look into that. But it's, again, working good enough for the demo. And you can run CTDB without the locking. You just need to remember to switch off the recovery lock. Otherwise, recovery of your cluster might get stuck somewhere. Probably a good idea to actually get working in any sort of production setup. But for now, for the demo, I don't care. And actually, now that I think of it, there's one more thing I have that is related to startup scripts. So sometimes we might see that during my demo. I seem to have a race between my GlusterFS D starting up and the system trying to mount the network file systems. And most of the time, it does that in the right order, but sometimes it doesn't. So like once every couple of tries I do, one of my nodes doesn't come up properly because the network file system is not ready by the time it tries to mount it. It's not too bad because so far I've only ever managed to kill one node at a time, and I have three of them. So clustering does work. But would be nice to obviously get this right for better setup. Anyway, so let's get started with a demo. So just to, that way around. So I now have I hope this is large enough for you. I have a couple of tabs here that I want to do some work in. I have three nodes in my cluster. For historical reasons, I initially bought the system to play around with Docker Swarm. They're called Swarm Master and Swarm Node 1 and 2. But here for this setup, they're set up exactly the same, apart from host names and IPs, obviously. And just to see that everything is up and running, I have a CTDB up and running in systemd, and it's rather happy. It just is complaining that I'm stupid enough to run without recovery lock enabled. I know, but doesn't like it terribly. And you can also see I'm running this no set scheduling option. Doesn't seem to quite work. Sometimes I still get entries in my log that it's trying to set get FIFO, but it reduces the amount of log entries drastically, so I guess that's fine. Let's see what CTDB thinks life looks like. And we can see I have a three-node cluster, and it's feeling fine. So I'm currently on the first node, which has this IP address internally, and the other two nodes are also fine, so everything is okay. Recovery mode is normal, so everything is up and running. Everything's fine. And you can see I'm using a different set of publicly available IP addresses, and CTDB has taken care of spreading them all over the cluster. So you can see node 0 has this address, node 1 has that address, and node 2 has that address. So everything works as intended. And in order to show that, that it does work, storage is the round robin DNS name I have set up for my cluster. And I can connect with as user root with my terribly secret password I have here. And there I am. And I'm actually in the directory that contains my awesome custom built Samba packages. So there you go. Does work. Now, let's do the same thing, but actually connect to a specific IP address. So we can actually see that this is working on a particular node. Okay, so like I can connect to any of these nodes. Let's just, for sake of completeness, do the same here. And once more, for the fun of it. So on all three IP addresses, the cluster is listening. And of course, usually as a client, I would go to the round robin DNS name, and don't care what cluster or what IP address I actually end up on. So far, so good. Let's make a node fail. So let's just kill node number 2. I just wanted to check node number 2 has the 102 IP address. So we can specifically try that again later. So let's just stop CTDB and see what happens. Okay, so we're inactive now, and obviously, CTDB status on this system says, I can't talk to CTDB. Get lost.
So let's see what the other systems think. And cluster is still okay, but one node is disconnected and we don't have any contact with it. So as far as the cluster concerned, that node is dead, of course, we just stopped it. And CTDB has taken care of migrating my IP address elsewhere. So on the client, if I switch over to my SMB client window, I can still connect to the 102 IP address that belonged to the node that is now dead, and this should work. There we go. So everything is still fine from a cluster client perspective, right? So let's get the whole thing back into operation and restart CTDB. Let's check the status from systemd again. So yeah, CTDB is active again. And you can see it's running a couple of more processes now because now the node is coming back and it's like, oh crap, there's a cluster running and I'm not connected properly. So it started recovery. And we can also see that in the status. So currently the node is still in the middle of recovery, so it's not completely happy yet, but should be coming back to normal pretty soon. So there we go, it's okay. Right. You can actually see it was coming back to normal while I was calling the CTDB status output before, because it was still saying unhealthy up there, but it was actually reporting normal already. So this is a really quick thing. And of course, if we check IP addresses, it got an IP address back. And I mean, by accident, it got the same one, I guess, would have been one of them that was belonging to one, the other node that now had two. But okay, so we're back. We are back in the cluster, and again, we can connect. Just everything's fine. So from the perspective of the client, nothing in the whole thing changed. Now, let's be a bit more drastic about this and actually try a less than coordinated shutdown. So let me just get out of node 1 here, because SSH is going to die anyway. So let's take node 1 and pull a plug. So node 1, bye-bye. We see node 1 is not responding anymore. Too bad. CTDB status is still trying to cope. So obviously, if your node just disappears, it's taking a bit longer. Oh, that's interesting. I've never seen that one before. OK, so as I'm saying, I'm not running the latest, greatest version of Samba. So take that, all of that with a grain of salt, right? And of course, I mean, the nice thing is I really like the setup here because it's really, really nice to simulate failures. So now everything is working as you would expect. It realized that one node is missing and it's inactive. So let's get it back online. Where's my power cable? Over here. OK. So it's still not there. Let's see when it actually does come back up. Takes a bit to boot, obviously. There we go. So let's log back in. Takes a bit longer for SSH to actually come up. So while we're waiting, let's check our CTDB status. I might have accidentally killed the other node. OK, so that's the downside of actually fiddling around with hardware that is just open like that. Oh yeah, I killed the other node. What would you know? But it's back, so let's see. OK, so this is interesting. I've never seen that one before. Because this node just died, but it decides it's the recovery master. This might be due to the fact that I don't actually have a proper recovery log. So I might have just got my cluster into a nice split brain situation, and it's not coming back up properly this time. No, everything's fine. So this stuff is pretty resilient in my experience. Ever since figuring out that my recovery log was not working properly and disabling that, I've not actually managed to completely break my cluster into a state that I had to go and manually kill all CTDBs in order to get back into a healthy state. So I'm back up in operation, and let's see how the IP address shuffling has now worked out. So yeah, so apparently node 2 just came back up and hasn't gotten its IP address back yet, but I mean, I assume that while two of the nodes were out of operation, node 0 took all the IP addresses and all the clients would still have been fine. And I guess soonish. So let's see if we can get back into here. I assume soonish it should get its IP address back. I mean, it's taking a bit longer than usual, but let's see. I mean, we can actually try to figure out what's going on here. This is in good old Samba XP tradition to actually go and do live debugging during a demo. I think Volker is the absolute winner of that one, because I think he really actually broke out GDB at some point, debugged some crash that he had during his demo, and fixed it, recompiled, and went on with his demo. Okay, so, well, it did disable the takeover. So let's see if that cleared up. No, it doesn't. I mean, we can kill it again, but... What? Okay. So that's the other fun part of doing a presentation like that with all the people who know that stuff in the audience, right? You don't have to do the live debugging all by yourself. Okay, there we go. So, magic trick. Apparently we had to kick it a bit, but it did work. So, let's go for something that's more fun even than that, right? So let's go for... I'll actually prepare a bit because it's not very much of a surprise, but let's go for a complete catastrophic failure of our cluster because our data center just lost power. I know this is an unlikely scenario, it only happens once in a while, but with my cluster it actually happens a lot, especially because I have a like switchable power supply and I keep like hitting the switch by accident, especially if I'm like in a constrained environment and just like put that on my laptop and the cluster is gone. Now, this one is a bit tricky because due to my nice setup here, I actually need the DNS server on my laptop operational when the cluster comes up because it wants to do DNS lookups. And because I'm using Network Manager on my laptop, it has now decided that the Ethernet setup I had before is not working anymore. So the next time it comes up, it will try the other one, which is wait for a DHCP address. So I'll plug this in, quickly switch back to the working network setup I need for the cluster, and then I'll be right back with you. So let's start and get here and get back to cluster. There we go. So that should have been fast enough. So this is an obvious fix to my next incarnation of the setup here. I probably might go down to like a two-node setup for my cluster and use the third node as sort of master of the internal state, so run a DNS server. Maybe like an AD domain controller that comes with the DNS and all the authentication or whatever setup, because that would make an even nicer self-contained cluster. But once I fix the round robin, something's always done there. Okay, but I mean, as we can see, the nodes are back up and responding to ping at least, so let's log back in on all of them. So there we are. Okay, and I guess at least one of the nodes is actually in degraded state, and I'm pretty sure. So let's see. Yeah, so my data mount is in failed state, as you can say. So I ran into the race condition, at least on that node. I'm pretty sure you can fix that by setting the proper targets in the systemd startup, but by default, it doesn't appear to be the case. I think that's a bit of an issue in the systemd setup that comes with Arch Linux, because I mean, this is obviously a network file system mount, and it should not try to mount before the NetFS target has been reached, but apparently it does try to do that. So this is not a CTDB issue, not a GlusterFS issue. I think this is a misconfiguration in Arch Linux. But let's see what this system looks like. So this being a live demo, of course, chances are that more than one system ran to the race condition now. I've never seen that before, but okay, this one's fine, and this one's fine. So again, as I said, only one of them runs into the race condition. And this actually gives me a nice opportunity to show something else, which is, so CTDB status, I've talked long enough now to allow the two nodes that are actually okay to come up properly. So my cluster is working, so I can go back and like connect to my Samba cluster. And for the client, it's fine, right? So fortunately, I'm running a cluster setup here so that one of the node fails to come up properly, doesn't actually impact me in any sense, apart from having to go and fix this. And the fix for this is easy, because by now, obviously, GlusterFSD is up. Okay, yeah, okay. So Samba, of course, has an error because I'm trying to share a directory that is on my GlusterFS, and that doesn't work. So the thing I can use to fix this is easy. I just have to mount. So, and wait a little bit, because by now, CTDB has figured out, oh, now I can mount, so now Samba starts up correctly because the directory actually exists, and I'm back in operation, and I even got an IP address because I'm now back and working fine. So even after a catastrophic failure, I mean, as I said, it's not ideal. Ideally, I wanted to just come back up and work out of the box or out of the suitcase, but doesn't quite work yet, but I think it's a bug in Arch Linux, so I'll have to figure out which of the scripts I have to adjust to make that behavior stop, and then submit a patch to the right upstream. But, I mean, pretty much overall, it works fine. And as opposed to running like a 19-inch rack setup, I can play with that in my room without having my ears fall off. And I can still like pull plugs on actual hardware, which is so much more fun than just powering down a VM. So, in any case, with the demo out of the way, and my time almost over, so just some wrap-up. Future plans, I've already mentioned, I guess, all of those. So, immediate plan is to make the Arch Linux people actually ship CTDB, so I don't have to recompile Samba myself the next time, because I'm lazy. And I mean, it's working just fine. So this would be a fun thing to convince them. Go to something that's fully self-contained. So as I said, maybe a two-node setup with the DNS server running on the third node. And also maybe just adding something with Wi-Fi and bridging there. And maybe even going to some power banks so I can actually run the whole cluster with the briefcase closed and just have my cluster works still, so that would be pretty awesome. Maybe I can even like abuse the metal corners around here as the Wi-Fi antenna or something like that. So let's see how that works. And yeah, as I said, some two-node cluster setup and one Samba ADDC, that would be pretty awesome. So you can bring your own Samba cluster and Active Directory with you. And unless, of course, you're going by plane, because I'm not sure. So, I mean, going back to the overview picture, right? You saw how it looks like. I'm sure it looks even more interesting on X-ray. So to answer the question that we had before during the introduction, I did not take this as a checked luggage. I did take this as checked luggage, not as carry-on luggage. There, apparently, it looks the same on X-ray, but people don't care. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And with that, I'm done with my talk. I'm happy to take any questions. And just to hook you up with all the Git repositories I mentioned before, you can find them on GitHub. And you can find that talk online as well. And I already saw a question.
Thank you for the demo. How would a client respond if one node fails during file transfer?
So I've tried this. Most clients actually are smart enough, and if you have the TickleAC takeover thing enabled, that basically sends a, this connection dropped, try again, please, it will reconnect. During my demo, I was using the command line SMB client, and SMB client just says, oh, connection closed. Right. Most graphical clients will just reconnect at that point, and you will be fine, and just connect to another system. SMB client, I mean, does the same if you just hit like arrow button up, enter, it will still work. But I mean, that's not very convincing for the demo, to be fair, right? But for most, so if you have a Windows client system, that should just work.
Any other questions?
Just a suggestion for the demo. You can repeat the demo with NFS very easily while the file is copying and then pulling plug on one of the node and then the file copy just continues.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or write a SMB client which reconnects.
I'll open a bug in Boxilla. I'm sure somebody feels responsible for these kind of things. Didn't Jeremy volunteer yesterday to fix any Samba bugs that you raised enough fuss about on Samba Technical? I seem to remember something like that, so okay. I can probably script that email, so that should work.
Okay, anyone else? Doesn't look like it. Okay, so thank you, Kai.
Thank you for giving us the suspension that only a live demo can bring to the room.